Good morning. Oh man, that's good sounding. Man, wow. Sounds good. Glad you could be with us this morning. We want to thank you for coming, joining us here at Mallory Church of God. Still got folks coming in, no big deal. But we want to thank you for coming. Thankful to be here this morning. Who all's been blessed by the Lord? Amen. Amen. Made a post there yesterday talking about just, Brother Joe, how frail life is, really. You know, oftentimes we take things for granted, and one phone call, Brother Ray, could be made. It could change your entire life. That's just the truth. It really is. We often just take things for granted, and, you know, the simplest things we take for granted. You know, they had the spaghetti dinner here Friday. They served 150, 160 people. Praise God for that. But, you know, if you're sitting here and you've got a roof over your head and shoes on your feet and food in the refrigerator, you're blessed. You're blessed. And I can't remember the exact stat, so to speak, but most people in this country that are even desperate people in this country receiving you know, benefits and things of that nature, nothing wrong with that, if they're down on their luck, whatever. But they are considered among the wealthiest in the world because of how bad the world is. We're blessed in this country, folks. We really are. We truly are. So we want to welcome you in the name of the Lord. God's been good that you're here. If you're here, then God's been good to you. Amen. So without further ado, we're going to continue on to This Generation Speaks. We enjoyed it last week a whole lot. Last week was really enjoyable with Emily and Josh. And the design of this, Brother Dave will be going next week, and Lord willing, Pastor Walker the following week. We're going to kind of begin to press into generations, mixing generations, as we read last week, because everybody, how many of you know that everybody has something to do in the church? Amen? Because I'm going to be honest with you. There was a time when I was their age, and I woke up every morning and my back didn't hurt, Brother Lindsay. I wake up now and I just told Corey, I said, if you see me doing this right here, I'm stretching. When I do that, it feels like it just gives me a little bit of relief. There was a time that I didn't have to do those things. So in other words, there are certain things that I can't do no more that I need them to do. Make sense? And vice versa. So we all got to work together. That's God's plan. That's God's desire. And how many believe that God is doing something in this generation? I do. I know that when I was growing up, my parents was not in church. They didn't have a relationship with Christ, which is, you know, not totally uncommon. But in my generation, I can actually say that even though my parents didn't go to church, they made me go to church. Kind of odd, isn't it, a little bit? But as far as Sunday school goes, they made me go to Sunday school. If I'd stay all night with somebody telling me it didn't matter, I was still getting up and going to Sunday school. Can't tell you how many times I've seen my dad pull up, honking the horn, somebody else's house. I better be up and ready and ready to roll when he'd take me to Sunday school. Kind of a little different, kind of a little odd, so to speak, but that was the truth. That was the way it was. That being said, this generation now that they're coming, some of them do, but some of them haven't had that experience. And sometimes, I don't want to call it the lost generation, because I don't believe it's the lost generation, but I believe it's a little bit different upbringing. So that being said, I believe God is reaching them in different ways. Plain and simple. So they have perspectives, and they have questions, and they have thoughts and stuff like that. We want to allow them to share them with us, because I truly believe that the way they feel, other people feel the same way. Amen? And also, we can share our thoughts on how they feel as well and kind of have a good discussion as we did last week. Emily and Josh brought up some excellent points and excellent questions. So I don't have to explain exactly what we're doing, so we can get more into it this morning. Okay? But before we do, we're going to ask you to stand to your feet as we always do. We like to go to the Lord in prayer. He knows every circumstance, every situation. He knows everybody's problems they're going through and all those things. So if you don't care right now, Brother Joe, you care to lead us to the Lord in prayer. Amen. Amen. We'll go ahead and start this out. You guys know me enough. You know my ugly mug. You know who I am. Okay? So right now we want to let Corey introduce himself.
My name's Corey Hall. Most of y'all probably know me. I've been here several times before. I've been coming to groups with Brother Teddy for quite some time. I'm married. I got two beautiful kids. They're twin girls. God's just blessed me. I got saved in 2017. Fell in love with Jesus. The rest of it's history. Once you've tasted and seen that the Lord is good, there's really nothing else to go back to.
Amen. Corey is married to Ashton, who is the niece to Bubby Bryant as well, by the way. So just kind of want to make that known. Both of them pretty familiar here. As Corey said, Corey's been coming to groups for a while faithfully, and he's got a great perspective, and he's got a ministry as well, okay? So, and the next one, this person on my right is a little special to me, so you care to introduce yourself?
My name's Maddie. Been coming here since I was like 12. Met my husband here. We have two beautiful kids, Luke and Lucy. I'm sure y'all have seen them. They are not in the screen now. Back there, we can have it probably. I just recently gave my life back to the Lord this past February, and I'm just wanting to raise my kids the right way and raise them up in church and give them everything that I didn't have as a kid, and I want to model, you know, that for them in my home, so my ministry is motherhood right now.
Amen. And that is my daughter, by the way. The technical term would be my daughter-in-law, but I don't like to say that word, okay? So that's one of ours. So she has a unique perspective, as she said, about motherhood and stuff. So, and that's something me and Corey know nothing about. Amen? We know nothing about. So, but she brings a great perspective and questions and thoughts and stuff like that. And as we always do, if you have a question, raise your hand. We want you to get involved, because I promise if you're thinking that somebody else is too, okay? So that's important. First question is going to go with Maddie, okay? Maddie asks, what steps would you take to make sure you're prioritizing your relationship with the Lord in a busy season, such as parenting? What made you ask that question? What's your thoughts?
Well, just to be vulnerable, that's something I struggle with, and I'm sure a lot of parents struggle with, and not just be afraid to ask that question. There's times where I'm like, oh, do it, and then, you know, go to bed, and then you're in bed, and when my head hits the pillow, I'm out. So it's just always, they're always running around, so it's just easy to get, you know, caught up and get busy.
Amen. Let me ask you a question. You need to speak up a little bit. That's fine. they just signal me, okay? Let me ask a question here by raise of hand. Women who's in the same situation, same categories, is that a question that interests you about prioritizing your relationship with the Lord in a busy season such as parenting? How many parents here can relate to that? That when it there you go. And those are desperate hands that raise up, by the way. Those are desperational hands, okay? So this is a very important question. Prioritizing your relationship with the Lord in a busy season such as parenting. Now, that being said, I'm not in a parenting season right now, but I can remember that season. Can you guys remember that? Can you remember how busy you was? Amen. I remember very vividly chasing three kids, running them back and forth, and this, that, and another. Tara being the primary person probably that was way worse tired than I was, you know, so you moms can specifically understand this and kind of get the question a little bit. But the first thing we want to talk about on prioritizing your relationship with the Lord in a season such as parenting. And I think Corey can relate to this, as he just said, he has two twin daughters. Okay, that being said, I would imagine, Corey, there's probably times, well, let me ask this. When you found out you were having twins, what came to your mind then?
A lot of prayer. Just, I really didn't know what to
expect.
Sure. Because we don't have any other kids.
Right.
So, you know, having twins is normal to us.
Right.
We don't know what it's like to have one.
I got you. And that right there, as far as Maddie goes, she has Luke and Lucy, and having Luke is like having three. You know, I call him Hurricane Luke for a reason. But, and you know, as she's got a three-year-old and a 18-month-old, so she's pretty busy too. But the first thing I want to say is this. Mothers, specifically mothers, dads, you too, okay? But I'm going to specifically zone in on mothers because the question came from Maddie. This is important for you to know. Motherhood is a ministry. First and foremost, motherhood is a ministry. Do not feel like you are failing God because of the season that you are in. The most important thing you're ever going to do is raise that child. Period. That is just the truth. The plain, it doesn't matter. Well, I feel like I'm called to do this, and I'd love to be able to do this, and I'd want to do this. Well, guess what? You can't do all those things right now when you've got little rugrats running around your ankles. And as Maddie said, there's times, as you guys know this, if you've had children or grandchildren, that you just absolutely, soon as they stop, your head hits the pillow, you're out like a light. It is what it is. Can I get an amen on that? Amen. And if you've ever dealt with a crying baby or anything like that, you can understand that, okay? If you've ever had a baby that's sick, I know Maddie's and I know Corey pretty well. When you're dealing with sick children, you know what? It ain't always easy. Matter of fact, it's never easy if you're dealing with children, okay? So how do you prioritize your relationship with God? How do you put it as a priority in your walk? Here's the way I see it. The most important thing you can do in that time period is utilize the time that you do have. What I mean by that is this. You're not going to have 30 minutes to study Scripture, obviously. Some evenings you might be able to if you get them to bed early. Take advantage of it. But you've got to take advantage of the time that you do have. If all you have is 10 minutes, then at that 10 minutes, you dedicate that 10 minutes to the Lord. You don't put Him on the back burner. Does that make sense? You've got to sneak it in sometimes. And that, whether it's a worship music pod, you know, if you get them out, maybe they're watching a program or a cartoon or something, then you're able to put a little bit of praise music in as you clean the house, whatever it is. I recommend you do those things because you need to be able to have that relationship with the Lord as well. Your ministry is still alive. It's still thriving, okay? God's going to, once them kids grow up and do that, you're going to continue. You'll be able to free up a little bit and you'll begin to move, okay? But in the meantime, I know you can probably understand this and appreciate that you don't want to die on the vine while you're waiting, right? So it's important that you take time. Priority is what you make it. What is your priority in life? I know you've probably heard me say this here before. If you want to know what somebody's priority is, look at their checkbook. What do they spend money on? It's going to tell you what their priorities are. If somebody loves to fish, they're going to spend a lot of money on fishing gear and fishing rods and maybe a boat and stuff like this. Or if they love four-wheelers, they're going to have all kinds of gear and stuff like that. What are you spending your money on is going to dictate what your priorities are. Now, my thing about this would be this. If you want to prioritize your relationship with the Lord in the season of parenting, sometimes, guys, listen, you can just get it in when you can. And here's the good thing about it. God understands that. That's the good thing about it. He understands that, and you're not failing. Brother Lindsay? Amen. 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 That's right. Yes. Lindsay obviously didn't know none of these questions. I literally have on my note here, set the example of what's normal. And that's really, as Brother Lindsay shared that, in other words, if all you've got is 10 minutes to read the scripture, let them see you reading that Bible. And here's something that I totally encourage. Let them hear you pray. Like Lindsay said, pray with them, obviously, but let them hear you pray. Set that example for them, okay? So the next question is Corey's. Yes, ma'am, go ahead. Sure. Yes. Sure. Completely understand that. And seasons is so important. You just said that, Teresa. Everybody goes through seasons. Okay, the Lord absolutely checked me on this one time. I was guilty of it. Just like one bad thing after another kept happening. Boom, 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 boom. And I said out loudly, and I said, man, when's this season going to end? That's what I said. And the Lord said, who do you think you are? And he spoke to me, Pat. He said, listen, he said, I created this world to operate in seasons. What makes you think that you're not part of that? Winter, spring, summer, fall. Every single thing operates in seasons, whether we want to be, and guess what? We're part of this planet. Dust of the earth is what we are. So we're part of that. We're going to go through those seasons that Teresa said. Just understand that God understands that, okay? He's not a dictator that just thinks that, you know what? You still need to do this. He understands if you're giving it your best. He truly does. Putting him as a priority. Corey's question, how can we know for sure that we are experiencing growth as a believer?
Yeah, I just feel like there's been times in my life walking with the Lord where that you really couldn't see or feel the Lord working. Mm-hmm. And you're still struggling with certain things that you've been trying to overcome. What are some things that can pretty much let you know that you are growing, that you're not stagnant in your faith?
Okay.
You know, I don't want to be 55 and still at the same spiritual level of 28-year-old. You know
right,
what I mean?
Absolutely. Let me ask you a question. Anybody here ever felt that before? Has there been times you've had to walk and couldn't feel God like you wanted to? Amen? Okay. Well, to that I'll say we walk by faith, not by sight. But obviously, what came to mind as I thought about these questions, because what I do is this. I had Maddie send me some questions. I had Corey send me some questions, just like I did last week with Josh and Emily, and I combined the questions. So I'm privy to a little bit of knowledge before I'm giving it to you guys, okay? That being said, so as I thought on Corey's question, Brother Lindsay, I thought about my kids growing up. And growing up, me and Tara lived in a trailer up Elk Creek, and we had this one little piece of trim in the house that every year we'd take them in, and we'd put a little mark on that piece of trim, and you could kind of see how they had grown through the years and things like that. So in other words, I never realized every day that they were growing. I couldn't see it every day that they were growing. But if I took time to stop on a certain basis, whether it was yearly, 6 months, or whatever it was, and kind of take that little tick mark and mark it, I could sit back and say, man, he's grown 2 inches this year. That makes sense. To that, how can we know if we're growing or not? I preached this here lately, and it seems to be kind of coming out a lot. I encourage you to take inventory. I say that a lot, take inventory. The older generation used to say, when's the last time you took inventory, son? And what they meant by that was you getting along with God, take inventory, ask the Holy Spirit to search your heart. Is there anything in my life that's holding me back? Is there anything any unforgiveness that's there that could cause bitterness and all those things? But often here would be my answer to that is if we never take inventory, we never see that if we've grown or not. So So in other words, I encourage each of you and every one of you to stop ever so often and take inventory and go, you know what, 6 months ago, what was I doing in the Lord? And compare that to what you're doing in the Lord now. 1 year ago, was your praise stronger 1 year ago than it was now? Did you spend more time with God 1 year ago than you do now? Because ready for this? Unlike Jacob, Colton, and Wyatt, we can shrink too. The less time we spend with God, we can shrink. I've always said it this way. When it comes to climbing a ladder, once you've experienced something up on the ninth rung, you're not going to be happy coming back down to the fifth rung. When your walk with God is just like that, when you've experienced the ninth rung, you're not going to be happy with the fifth rung. Does that make any sense? And you've got to ask yourself and be honest with yourself. That's the biggest issue. Are you going to be honest with yourself as far as, you know what, am I serving the Lord? Am I witnessing for Him like I'm supposed to? Do I really go out of my way to share the gospel? Okay, because listen, if you don't do those things, you're missing out on a wonderful opportunity to grow. Okay, not everybody has a pulpit ministry, okay? But that don't make that you less than them. You are not less than the pastor or anybody else, an evangelist, a worldwide mission or anything like that. Wherever you're at, then you've got a job to do where you're at for God. You should be reaching people at work. You should be doing those things. And if we want to grow for the Lord, we've got to really, ready for this? We've got to do something. And if we don't do nothing, it's going to be kind of hard to grow. You're not going to be able to experience those things. Anybody got any questions? Yes, ma'am. That's exactly right. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Right. Sure. That's exactly right. Mm-hmm. Sure. Exactly right. Amen. Amen. Well said, Amber. That is well said. Because, in other words, everybody's growth's not going to look the same. And it's okay if you're, like she said, if what you can, I don't think there's no such thing as small growth. Growth is growth. Okay? If you're doing a little bit, you're growing from it. Okay? And it's important that you do that because I think what Corey just said is important. He don't want to be 55 and still spiritually 28, because there are some people that grow old in the Lord without growing up in the Lord. And I think that's what we want to avoid. And the only way we avoid that is, like you said, taking it day by day, the small steps, and the small steps add up. They sure do. Anybody else? Absolutely. 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 And I tell you what, oftentimes you can see when it comes to spiritual growth and maturity is maturity in the Lord. They're not as argumentative. If you ain't careful as a young person in the Lord, you're gung-ho. You're all fired up. You just got saved. Your pants are on fire. You're ready to go do something, okay? And if somebody shares something or somebody says something that's contrary to Scripture, you don't want to lash out. Wisdom and maturity says, slow down. They don't know what you know. How can I reach them for the Lord? What's the most effective way to reach them for the Lord? I was talking with Wyatt here not long ago. He was driving to Logan or something. He was talking about the difference of knowledge and wisdom. Knowledge is understanding what the problem is. Wisdom is knowing how to apply the answer. Okay? So it's not just enough to have knowledge, but to have wisdom is what we need. And I think spiritual maturity and growing up in the Lord can help give us wisdom. Joe? That's right. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah. Amen. Sure. You see that Bible sitting there? Right. I understand that. Yeah. Serves as a reminder, doesn't it? Man. Absolutely. Sure. Sure. That's exactly right. So in other words, stay in your lane, is what you're saying. But I understand that. How many people here have a job that you believe that God has blessed you with? Raise your hand. You provide for your family, this, that, and that. Okay. So if God's put you in that spot, or to provide for your family, don't you think he put you in that spot to tell other people about him? It's not a coincidence. You're supposed to operate in the field you're at, in the season you're in. And going piggybacking off of that, Maddie's next question was this: how to teach and raise your kids in today's society that they know it's okay to stand strong in their convictions. How do you do that? That was your question.
Obviously, everything in the world is kind of moving away from I just want my kids to know it's okay to say no. That's not what the Bible says. That's not right.
Amen. How do you teach and raise your kids in today's society so that they know it's okay to stand strong in their convictions? What would you guys say about that? How do you do that? Anybody? Live it out every day. Give them. Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. So you set the example, okay? But how do we know what example to set? By the Bible. By the Bible. We talk about it all the time here at this church. There's a lot of facts in this world, right? But there's only one truth, and that's God's Word. God's Word is the only truth in this world. As much as I like the Constitution and I stand for it and I pledge allegiance to the flag, when I get to heaven and stand before Christ, he's not going to ask me about which amendment is what in the U.S. Constitution. I'm going to be judged based on the Bible. So how do we raise those kids in today's society to know it's okay to stand strong in their convictions? Then we've got to teach them what the Bible says. Amen? We got to raise them according to the Scripture. Now, for you to do that, ready for this, moms and dads, you got to know it. Okay? I mean, how many of you women have husbands that you may buy something and it's up to the husband to put it together, but the first thing he does is not grab the instructions, tosses them to the side, grabs his drill, and goes to work. Right? Only to have this left over, that left over, and whatever else. Or get halfway in it, and then you're coming in there looking for the directions, and you're saying, I think you put this shelf in wrong. It happens, okay? So we need to know the instructions. Okay, first off, that being said, I hate to use a football analogy, but I love football. That being said, fundamentals still work. When it comes to raising kids, fundamentals still work. The most successful teams in football are the ones that do the fundamentals right, that don't shoot themselves in the foot, that the ones that don't fumble the ball and throw interceptions. They have the fundamentals. They tackle well. They hit the hole. They do those things. They block. They execute. That still wins. As far as parenthood, fundamentals still work. You set the example. You discipline your child. Yeah, go ahead. Give God a hand clap on that. You discipline your child. And you know what that means? What the Scripture says, if you spare the rod, what are you going to do? Wow, ain't that a novel thought? That doesn't mean you beat your child. That means you correct your child. You encourage your child. You love your child. But you discipline your child. Okay? How can we, what do we do by disciplining them? We're letting them know what's acceptable and what's not acceptable. And when you discipline, you ready for this? You be consistent about it. Think about that. Be consistent. If you say no, follow that up with always saying no about that. Okay? I remember growing up, my dad say, "Teddy Dean, go do this." And it didn't take me long to realize just to go do it. But if I ever said, "Dad, why?" You ever done that? "Because I said so." He did not care what my opinion was whatsoever when he told me to do something. He didn't ask for my input, Pat. When he told me to do something, it was go do it. Why? Because he knew what was best, okay? So as far as raising your kids in society, fundamentals still work. Teaching them the scripture, teaching them the Bible, okay? And in order to do that, we have to absolutely know ourselves what the Bible says. And to me, that is the single biggest issue in the church today, is knowing the scripture. If you don't know the scripture, folks, you ready for this? There's a lot of Christians. We got a great crowd here today, by the way. There's a lot of Christians that consider themselves prayer warriors, or it might sound good on a license plate to be a prayer warrior or a demon slayer. I'm a prophet. I'm a demon slayer. They couldn't quote scripture one way or another. They couldn't tell you what nothing is other than John 3:16. Got no idea. Now, how in the world are you going to be a demon slayer if you don't know scripture? Think about it, folks. Listen to me, what I'm telling you. If we want to raise our kids and for them to have what we have, they've got to understand the Bible. And the only way they're going to understand the Bible is if, guess what, we teach it to them. Amen? And ready for this? Bring your kids to church. Bring your kids to church. It's important that they're raised in this environment, that they're taught these things. Amen? Anybody got any comments, questions? Yes, ma'am. Ooh, that's good. Teach the voice of authority. So in other words, we all have to answer to somebody. That's absolutely right. So we're not rebellious. Man, I tell you what, that's very well said, Bobby. How many people believe we got a rebellious society today? Amen. And I'm going to tell you right now, this world needed to grow up under my dad, because he did not handle it. It was just different. You didn't question authority like you just said. That's well said. You got, I don't want to get on that soapbox. You got kids and parents questioning teachers. Can I tell you something? When I was growing up, if a teacher said you need to fix something, my dad didn't argue with the teacher. My dad busted my hind end, and then he went and talked to the teacher and said, "What we need to do to fix this?" Because that teacher was the authority. Okay? There was a specific teacher, I'll share this story with you, a specific teacher that this person, her and my dad, didn't really get along too well. They just didn't get along too well, okay? Outside, they just, friction, no big deal. Dad didn't hate her, but they just didn't get along well. She ended up being my brother's teacher for 2 years. He moved up, she moved up. But you know what? When my brother started struggling in school, my dad never questioned her. He bust my brother's hind end. And he showed up every Friday to see what was wrong. What did he do this week? Because he trusted her as a teacher. And you know what? His grades come up and that nipped that in the bud real quick. But I think it's important, as Bobby said, about authority. If your kids don't understand authority today, what are they going to do when they get older? Amen? Anybody else? Good point. Okay, next. We're going to go to Corey, right? Is mentorship lacking in the church, and why is it important? What do you think?
I've been reading throughout the scriptures, and if you go look, Joshua had Moses, Elisha had Elijah. If I'm not mistaken, Paul even talks about Timothy being his son spiritually. Mm-hmm. And it seems as if these people always had somebody pouring into them, preparing them for what's to come, transition the mantle on their life and just do what God's called them to do. And I feel like for some people, they feel as if people their age already have mentors, or they have somebody pouring into them, and they may have great parents at home but not godly parents. Mm-hmm. They may not have somebody pouring into them to push them into what they're called to do.
Amen. So let me ask a question. How many people here today, if you have a job to do, a big job to do, for example, if you are preparing to move houses from one house to another, okay, that's a big job. That's a physical, that's taxing, that's a stinky job. Moving stinks. That being said, how many people here would prefer to do it all by yourself with no help? No. You'll take all the help you can get, won't you? Why? Because it's hard. It's hard. And you understand that the more hands I have, the more help I get. Right? I think what Corey just brought up, mentorship, aka discipleship, is crucial in the church today. That being said, when he asked this question, I went, oh yeah, check that one. Let's talk about it. Discipleship is on par with soul winning. Oh my. Got quiet. What do you mean? Because it is. Plain and simple. We are all called to share the gospel with other people. Amen? That's a good thing. But when people get saved, when young people come to the Lord, what then? What are you doing to pour into them? If you've been following the Lord for 10 years or whatever the situation is, and you're grown up or matured in the Lord, are you helping that young Christian in any way, shape, or form? Or are you just showing up and worshiping with them? Oh my gosh. What a noble idea. An amazing thing. Discipleship or mentorship. I'll give you an example. You brought up Paul and Timothy. One of the things that Paul told Timothy was this: despise not your youth. That's what he said. So in other words, what he was saying is because of Timothy's role as a preacher and a pastor and stuff, and he was younger, he was basically saying, don't let nobody let you feel any less than because you're younger. Okay, why? Because we ain't supposed to be that. We're on the same team. Okay? And now that I get this opportunity to grow into groups, I'll go ahead and take this opportunity to go into groups and plug it. Okay? Because what are groups? Groups are an opportunity to connect with people and grow with them. That's all they are. Ain't that novel? I personally believe that every minister of the gospel should be leading a group. And for those that don't think they should, you ready for this? Are you any better than Jesus? He led 12. Got quiet, didn't it? He led 12, didn't he? Why? Because he knew he needed to pour into other people, because they need to pour into other people, and they need to pour into other people. They need to pour into other people. And ready for this? If we got a bunch of people, it ain't so hard to move that mattress from the top floor down to the bottom floor, is it? It becomes a whole lot easier when we got more people involved and more hands on deck. So it's what Corey just said. How many people can say there's been people in your life that God's blessed you with spiritually that helped you? Amen? Well, there's some that you can still call on today. Amen. But there is a generation that may not have that. That's what he's bringing up here today. Will you do that? Okay? Oftentimes, ready for this? Gosh, almighty. Oftentimes, we say things like this. But you can't get the younger generation to do anything. They don't respect nothing. Can I tell you this, folks? There's people my age, you can't get them to do anything. They don't respect nothing. Don't lump an entire generation with that. There's losers of all age. Let's say it like it is. Truth's the truth. There's rude people of every age. There's lazy people of every age. Okay? But are we just going to say, well, everybody's lazy? No, you got some people that's lazy. Okay? Some people wouldn't hit a snake if it was crawling on them. That's just the truth. They ain't going to lift a finger. That being said, not everybody falls under that. And so mentorship is very important. Those people need somebody. And if you're in that position as those other people that poured into you years ago, you need to be that person for them. Okay? When they ask you questions, you take that serious. That matters. You don't blow them off. Any way that you can help them, you pray for them and you let them know. Go up to them and openly say, if you need anything, you let me know. It's important they know they don't feel like they're alone. It don't do you a bit of good to get them saved in a revival and then walk away from them. Don't do you a bit of good. Let me ask you a question. When we get home, do you think that we're going to let Luke and Lucy fix ourselves something to eat? We ain't going to do it. They ain't old enough to do it. They need to be fed, and it's our opportunity and it's our job to feed them until they're able to feed themselves. Amen? Anybody got any comments about that? Didn't think so. Oh, we do. Thank God. Come on, Bobby. Amen. Amen. Well said. Okay, next is this. Maddie, what is one piece of advice you would give to a young couple who wants to put God at the center of their relationship but hasn't ever seen it modeled? What made you ask that question? It's a good question.
I feel like it's just like anytime you get engaged, you're going to get married, that is something that like almost every person told me, just keep God at the center of your marriage. But not everybody has godly parents at home that modeled that. So,
amen. So that's a big question. That's a huge issue today, because you cannot assume that they were raised in a Christian family. You can't assume that they were taught the Bible. So what's that mean? As a church, you got to extend grace. They need help. You got to be a model. You got to be an example of that. And what I would say to that couple is this. God is so good. You may not have had that to draw from, as some people were blessed to have, but you yourself can literally be the one that breaks generational curses. It's up to you and I to make that decision. Listen, just because something was always in your family don't mean you have to adopt that. I've heard people say things, and I've heard Pastor Walker talking about this. Somebody will run their mouth. Christian, run their mouth. You ready for this? Christians running their mouth. Yeah, and then when they get done, man, I'm sorry. That was the fry in me. That was a convenient excuse. That's what that was. I might have been born a fry, but I was born again. Amen. I'm not going to let my temper rule me because it ruled my elders or people that is older than me. I'm not going to let alcoholism or drugs rule me like it ruled my parents or my grandparents or my uncles. I'm not going to let fornication and adultery creep into my home because it did other people and it destroyed their family. I'm going to break that generational curse because I've been born again. That is what God wants us to do. If we don't have those people in our lives to mold it after, then you've got to be the first one. Plain and simple. And ready for this, something good has to, it takes one person to be that for their family. You understand that? You may not be the fifth generation Pentecostal preacher, I think as Pastor Walker is. You may not have that. But you know what? You can be the first. That's all that really matters. What are you doing for God? Amen? Because that's what he wants of us. Last one, because I know I'm running out of time, and I want to get to this one. Okay? Corey, because I think this is important today. What is the best way to confront false doctrine? What made you ask that?
Yeah, in my generation, I feel like because of the access to internet, YouTube, you know, you can hear anything that you want, and you can even look up stuff that may fit your agenda, you know, or whatever. And false doctrine is just, I think, a big issue today for my generation. And you know, I hear it quite often, and I don't want to openly embarrass somebody.
Sure.
But I also, it grieves me to hear it being spread.
Sure. You know what I mean? Absolutely. How many people here are aware of false doctrine today? Okay, let me ask that again. You either lying or you just not paying attention. How many people here know there's a lot of false doctrine today? Amen. That being said, how do you confront false doctrine? Okay, I think there's two things about this, plain and simple, myself. First and foremost, it's important to be spiritually mature and realize, are they intentionally doing it? Because they might not just understand the Scripture, okay? That being said, to be able to decipher what false doctrine is, what do you first need to know again? Got to read the instructions, don't you? You don't get nothing else out of this. Read your Bibles. But the point of it is, you've got to know what the truth is, and the only way you know what the truth is if you read the Scripture, amen? So now that you know that, you've got to decipher whether it's intentional or they just don't know the Scripture. Because there's some people, because you're mature, and ready for this, if you start reading the Scripture, you'll grow in the Lord and you'll get mature. I trust God in that way. I do. That being said, there might be some people that just don't understand that's what that meant. I don't know. So you know what you do in that way? You go to them. The Bible gives an example of this. Aquila and Priscilla. There was a man named Apollos. He came, he was preaching, he was on fire, man, everybody loved him, man, he's a good preacher. But he didn't quite have it all the way. It wasn't that he was doing anything wrong. He was trying to win people, but he just didn't have the full truth of it yet. So the Bible says that Priscilla and Aquila took him and they showed him a more excellent way. So they shared the gospel with him separately, didn't call him out, showed him a more excellent way. They explained the Scripture to him. I would encourage that, first and foremost. That being said, if they are intentionally doing that, I'm a little bit different than some people. I'm going to tell you what I do in a loving way. If you're walking in the light, when darkness shows up, you're going to know it. You know your Scripture, and I personally believe in never backing off of the Word of God. Plain and simple. I'm not going to be mean to anybody. But I'm going to share what the Scripture says, not my opinion. First of all, never use those words. In my opinion, they got an opinion too. That don't mean their opinion's right. Don't mean your opinion's right. Here's what the Scripture says. Here's what the Bible says. Know the Scripture so that when false doctrine shows up, you ready for this? You're able to walk in the truth of the Scripture. If you know the truth, that's what will set them free. But if you don't know the truth, that you can't be set free in any other way, shape, or form. Does that make sense? But false doctrine, deception, is one of the biggest issues in our society today. We've got people that don't know right from wrong. They call good evil, evil good. Why? Because they don't know the Bible. Okay? So it's important as we round this up. Man, this is good. As we round this up, it's important that you understand in today's world, there's deception. There's false doctrine. There are parents that are dealing with trying to raise their kids in the right way that never had that modeled after them before. They don't know how to do it. There are mothers that are just trying to cram everything in because it's important to us to understand at the root of every bit of this, how do we grow in the Lord? How do we stop false doctrine? How do we help spread the gospel? You need to know the Bible. That's what we keep kind of coming back to, ain't it? Know the Bible. Study the Scripture. The more God pours into you, the more you're going to pour into other people. Okay,